a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
With that, we welcome everyone back to this meeting of House Judiciary, and we greet our listeners on the Internet. We will start this morning with a really controversial bill, House Bill 1008. We want to start with that so that we can get Representative Dietrich back to appropriations. And as is our custom in House Judiciary, oh, and Representative Tiedemann as well, welcome to Judiciary. As is our custom here, we take proponent testimony, opponent testimony, brief rebuttal if there is opponent testimony. We hold questions for the committee until that time, questions for the committee, committee discussion and or action. That's our process in House Judiciary, just a reminder. So with that, we welcome Representative Dietrich and House Bill 1008, proponent testimony. Could you please turn on your microphone, Representative Dietrich?
Normally, I'm loud enough without it.
Well, some of us...
I'll start over.
Some of us, the hearing is not the same.
Yeah, that's true. I don't hear much myself anymore. I'm Representative Tom Dietrich from District 21. I'm bringing you House Bill 1008. I bring it not necessarily as being a representative, but more of a member of the Code Commission, of which Senator Trebek Berry is the other member out of the legislature. Since you've seen this bill last year in substantially the same form, I will shorten the presentation as much as possible. This is the bill that we bring in order that everybody can use these books and do so reliably and know that the laws that are in here are the laws that have been passed by the South Dakota legislature. If we don't pass the bill, then we've got a problem because we can't necessarily rely upon these books. Stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. Other proponent testimony for House Bill 1008? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony. Open to questions of the committee. Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions and open to committee action. Representative Mosier.
Move to pass.
Move to pass by Mosier. Is there a second? Second by Representative Schleckway. Comments on that motion, Representative Mosier? Anything else of the committee? Seeing nothing further from the committee, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1008. The secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Schleckway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Yes, aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Madam Chair.
House Bill 1008 receives a due pass recommendation. Representative Hoffman.
Madam Chair, thank you. I move consent on this bill.
Move consent by Hoffman, seconded by Lust. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? House Bill 1008 will go to the consent calendar.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. I would ask the committee at this time to approve the minutes from our previous meeting. Moved by Representative Turbeville, seconded by Representative Gibson. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The minutes are still approved. We also want to greet our pages this morning. Seth Beats, is that correct? From Tripp, welcome, and thank you for your service to House Judiciary. And Samantha Blood from Huron, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, and Representative Gibson says yes, yes. Welcome, and thank you for your help today. With that, we've warmed up our proceedings so that the committee has the feel once again of being back into the calendar portion of House Judiciary, and we want to move along to Representative Tiedemann, which bill are you here on?
Bill 1005.
Well, let's take that up then for you. With that, we will open the hearing to House Bill 1005, an act to make form and style revisions to certain statutes related to the Bureau of Personnel. With that, we welcome Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee.
Representative Larry Tiedemann from Brookings, South Dakota, District 7. The Bureau personnel had the dubious honor of being invited to come to a sunset review this past summer. And as chair of that committee, that's the reason why I'm bringing forward the form and style corrections. LRC, or Legislative Research Council, during those sunset review, take the opportunity to go and review all of the statutes that may pertain directly to the particular agency that we're reviewing. And one of the things that they look at are cleanup bill, and that's what this is a cleanup bill. It's not any substantive changes, but it's bringing forward some of the archaic language, making the sentences shorter, so that people have a better understanding of what really was within the statutes. Bureau personnel statutes were not that bad, but you do have a bill that's fairly lengthy. Most of the things that are changed are fairly minor, but deal with the gender-based language so that we are current with that particular situation, not having a not with a shall, and so those types of things are pretty much the changes that are there. The LRC staff that worked on this was Tom Magadens, and the LRC staff that worked with the total committee was Terry Miller. You also have a member of that summer study committee on your committee today, so if there's any other questions, but truly it's a form and style change. It you go through and bring things up to date.
Thank you, Representative Tiedemann. We appreciate you being with us this morning. We know you're busy down there in appropriations. So
thank you.
That. Is there further proponent testimony to House Bill 1005? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sandy Zinter, and I'm the Commissioner of the Bureau of Personnel. And serve here as a proponent to the bill. We had the opportunity to take part in the sunset review process this past summer and early fall, and it was a good experience for us, and thank Representative Tiedemann and the members of the committee for offering us that experience. So we have been through, and as Representative Tiedemann indicated, it was style and form, and we didn't have any issues with that at all. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1005. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony. Open to questions of the committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
If I could ask a question of staff, of Reuben. I noticed that sections 83 and 92, I believe, are being repealed, and these sections simply relate to the fact that if there's any provision that is held unconstitutional, the other provisions are still to remain in effect. One is on page 20. I believe it's section 63, and then the other one is 92. I assume that LRC just felt that those provisions were not necessarily required, because if any provision of our law is held unconstitutional, the whole rest of our law still remain in effect. But maybe Reuben could just comment on that.
Yes, that's an interesting learning point, Representative Hunt, as you're aware. Those are provisions which are called severability clauses. And in olden days, they used to be added to almost all complex bills as a matter of course. In the state of South Dakota, we have a long line of court cases which say, in effect, that severability is part of the common law, and therefore it's not necessary to keep repeating these severability clauses over and over and over again, because the courts have interpreted that all of our laws are severable unless the legislature says they're not severable.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions of the committee, we will move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1005. Representative Ingalls.
Second.
Moved to pass by Ingalls, seconded by Gibson. Remarks on that motion, Representative Ingalls. Any further remarks of the committee? Representative Schleckway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make a brief comment. It was a thorough and comprehensive sunset review. I did serve on that. Thought Tom and Terry did a good job, and Ruben on LRC's behalf, and then the Bureau of Personnel staff were very, very good in their information they provided, and very comprehensive. They answered all questions, and so thought Representative Tiedemann did a good job chairing the committee as well. So,
thank you. Anything further of the committee? Seeing nothing further of the committee, the motion is due pass for House Bill 1005. Our secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hamel.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mosier.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. House Bill 1005 receives a due pass recommendation. Representative Turbeville.
Madam Chair, move due pass. Our consent. I'm sorry.
Second.
Moved consent by Turbeville, seconded by Hoffman. Those in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? House Bill 1005 will go to the consent calendar. Thank you. Thank you. We'll move to House Bill 1019. House Bill 1019, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the requirements for notarizing documents. With that, we welcome Mr. Secretary of State.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. I like the direction of the committee this morning, and with that, it's my privilege to bring House Bill 1019. No secret that my office had the opportunity to take a little trip through the Hughes County Courthouse in November of last year dealing with the smoking ban referendum petitions. A number of different areas that were raised in that case, and a lot of them surrounded the issue of what is a proper notarization. We thought the existing statutes were clear on the components of a complete notarization. The judge felt otherwise. And particularly three things that the judge found that under the existing statute, she did not feel that a notary seal was required for a complete notarization. Number two, did not feel that a correct commission expiration date for that notary was a requirement, and number three, that having a complete notary expiration date was not a requirement for a complete notarization. And we feel that for the integrity of the notary process, that is not a good precedent to remain established. And so what we have done is brought House Bill 1019, which we think makes it very clear that for a complete notarization, there are four components. One, the notary public has to affix their signature. Number two, the date on which this notarization was done needs to be there. Number three, there needs to be an impression of the notary's seal. And number four, the notary has to provide their complete and correct commission expiration date. And we think that's as clear as we can make it, and that will erase any question as to what is a complete notarization. With that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer questions when appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1019. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, the committee will close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gibson.
Move to pass.
Oh, we're not there quite there yet, Representative Gibson, but thanks for your help. Representative Feinstein.
Madam Chair, a question for Mr. Nelson, Secretary Nelson. I know it was the last year or 2 years ago we were able to affix a date on our rubber stamp, our expiration date, and we're also able to use an embossed seal. Does this change that in any way?
Madam Chair, if I might, no, this would not change that at all. We've not changed that part of the law. It's still a notary's prerogative which type of seal they want and if they want their expiration on their seal.
Follow-up,
Representative Feinstein.
And just briefly, I went through this just a couple months ago, so that's why I'm on top of that part. And so you still are going to be able to use both seals if you have both seals on record, an embossed and a dated or any other.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you.
Further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Mr. Secretary, The second requirement there, the date of the notarization, can that just be a date on the document itself?
If it is part of the notarization area, that would be correct, the date that it's actually being done.
Follow-up,
Representative.
What if in that notarization it says to the date set forth above?
I would consider that to be complete.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hoffman.
I move due pass on House Bill 1019.
We're not quite there yet, Representative Hoffman. They're really trying to help you out here, Mr. Secretary. We want to make sure that if there are any further questions of the committee, that we allow all the questions since we do have some time. Representative Turbeville.
Okay, just a question in light of the problems that arose with the smoking petition. So on a petition, there are 20 signatures, right? And on a single petition page. So if the notary forgets or fails to do any one of these things, is it your contention that the entire petition is an invalid? Is that what I'm hearing?
If I might respond to that, there is a requirement in law and an administrative rule that for each petition sheet, the circulator has to fill out the circulator's verification. That's that bottom portion on the backside of the petitions, and that's required to be complete, and included in that is the notarization portion. And so it's required that that notarization be complete in order for the verification to be complete, and if it is not, then the petition is that petition sheet is not valid. Yes, it's that whole process that authenticates the validity of the signatures on that particular sheet.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Lust.
Thank you. Secretary Nelson, would you view this this proposed amendment as essentially as a more restrictive requirement than the existing statute?
If I might, I mean, my response to that would be no, because I thought the existing statute required these things. It talked about a notary seal. It talked about a commission expiration date. But as I mentioned, the judge felt otherwise. And so I think this is a clearer explanation of those things that are specifically required. And the hope would be, and we provide these statutes to notary publics when they are commissioned, and by specifically providing this and saying, hey, there are four things you need to do when you notarize a document, bing, 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 that notaries will be able to easily follow that.
Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having been a notary in the state of Arizona for many years, these were the requirements that I had to do as a notary, and if I did not do all of these steps, then my signature as notary was invalidated. So these are the things that I did as a notary in the state of Arizona, and it just makes it very clear to me. So,
is that a question?
That's not a question, but I'm just saying that in another state, statement, in another state, these were the requirements, and I imagine, did you check out other states' statutes when you wrote this document?
No, we did not. Again, looking at the existing language talks about all of these kinds of things. It talks about a seal, talks about the commission expiration date, but essentially we've reworded this and tried to make it just as crystal clear as possible that these are the four components required.
Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a follow-up to Representative Gibson, would it be your opinion that the vast majority of our notary publics here in South Dakota see this as standard practice currently?
If I might, I think the answer is yes, although I will be very frank in that the number of notary public errors in the smoking ban petition surprised me, frankly. Now, I will also say that that whole exercise and the public, the media attention to that was a means of educating notary publics again. I mean, the number of calls that we got from notaries asking questions about, you know, what do I need to do to make sure I get it right? And, of course, we'd refer them back to the documentation that we've already provided to them. But that whole exercise, I think, was a very good thing so far as notary education.
Follow-up, Representative Mosher.
Will there be a process by which you'll inform notary publics in South Dakota of the changes that we might make?
If I might, we will certainly revise our, and I don't know if it's even revise or just make more specific our notary handbook. Again, these are the current requirements. We are simply making it clearer in law so that if we, you know, anybody that goes back into a courtroom on this situation, we think we'll have the law to back up their position on what is or is not a complete notarization. So there's really no change in the expectation as to what a notary needs to do.
Representative Feinstein.
Madam Chair, just a, I know it isn't necessarily in this statute here, but is there a statute that requires whenever there is an acknowledgement that it's required to have a seal, or are there instances where seals are not required? And how would, does this address it, or should that be addressed?
If it is a notary public that is doing the administering, their seal is required. But there's another statute that allows certain public officers, court judges, county auditors, other county officials that are authorized to use, to sign and administer oaths, and they are not required to use a seal because they may or may not have one. But that's a whole different statute, a whole different set of circumstances. And on the smoking ban petition, we had some of those where those public officials had witnessed the oath, didn't use a seal because they don't have to, and that's fine. But when it comes to a notary public, there's a purpose for that seal, and that's to authenticate what they've done.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just a clarification, Mr. Secretary. If I understood correctly, your response to a previous question was that the complete and correct commission expiration date can actually be incorporated within the seal of the notary. We don't necessarily have to have two separate, for example, I use two separate rubber stamps, but I can combine that if I so desired.
That is correct. Representative Feinstein was exactly correct. About 2 years ago, we made that change, so it's now the notary's choice how they want to do that.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Secretary, if a person were to gather, let's say, 10,000 signatures, all of which were valid, and correctly verify that they were the petition carrier, and then they use the same notary for all the petition documents, and that notary failed to follow the changes you're suggesting, would your office disqualify all those petitions?
If I might, Madam Chair, that is, there is a set of administrative rules that guide our office as we are verifying petition signatures. And those rules apply to statewide initiative and referendum petitions. They apply to the petitions that you and I file as candidates. And those rules would say if that circulator's verification is not complete, that none of the signatures on those sheets would be valid. And so that is the that's where we would arrive given your scenario, correct? There is a great responsibility on the part of notary publics to do their job correctly, not just on petitions, but on any of the legal documents that that they are notarizing.
Follow-up, Representative Gosch.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of a scenario, you know, this is usually the case where the notary has no relationship to the carrier of the petitions, the person verifying that they carried the petitions, and maybe the notary charged the $2 to do it, and then they did it incorrectly at no fault of the person carrying the petitions and gathering the valid signatures. So even in that case, you would still disqualify the petitions?
That the administrative rules would require us to, yes. And let me be very clear, as we went through this court exercise, the circuit court judge said, under the existing administrative rules and statutes, the Secretary of State is required to do that. That was not a question in this. But then the court said, that was the secretary's role, but I, as the court, am going to go a different direction and choose to find that some of these things are not crucial. And that's a direction the courts can go. And so the court and the secretary have two different roles.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Hamill.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be left out, Madam Chairman. Thank you.
We're waiting for you, Representative Hamill.
So does that get into that area of substantial compliance? In Representative Gosch's scenario, do you have any latitude, or does it have to go to court to invoke the substantial compliance aspect of approval?
If I might, that's the key question here. And the answer to that is the courts have found that the Secretary of State does not and cannot determine substantial compliance. We have to operate under strict compliance. If it is not there, if it is not complete, then we cannot find it to be valid. The courts, however, do have the ability to find substantial compliance. And so in Representative Gosch's instance, certainly if someone were in that situation where 10,000 signatures have been found invalid, they can go to court and ask the court to find substantial compliance. What I am asking for in this bill is let's just be clear what the standard is. So there's no question about the standard. Then, you know, judges can make their evaluation from there, but let's just have a clear standard.
Further questions of the committee? Just a couple of people we haven't heard from yet this morning, so feel free to join in if you... Oh, nope, there's zipping it up there. All right. Representative Keller?
I was going to move consent.
We are getting all sorts of help to get to there, that point, aren't we? All right. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing nothing further, Representative Hoffman.
Madam Chair, I do move do pass.
Move do pass by Hoffman, seconded by Representative Gibson. Any remarks on your motion, Representative Hoffman?
The only remarks on that I would make is that I think this all boils down to a trust of the public, of the voting system, and of the Secretary of State's office. And in America, we do have always backed up by the courts, which can determine the validity of those. And In my mind, I think this is the absolute minimum that we can do to justify all the things that the Secretary of State's office is required to do. Thank you.
Is there anything further of the committee? Representative Ingalls.
Now I'll speak.
Good morning.
I don't think it's too much to ask that notary publics have some sort of basic level of competence. I'm a notary, and I get a certificate from the Secretary of State that says when my expiration date is. And if there's ever any question, any notary has that same certificate, and they can just go look. You know, it is an important role for notaries to authenticate a document. And if the notary's competence is in question, I think the whole document comes into question. So I think this is a good bill, and it is a clarification of what everybody thought the law was to begin with.
Thank you. Is there anything further of the committee? Representative Lust.
I just want to express my reservations with this, the direction of this. That's why I asked the question whether or not the Secretary felt this was more restrictive. If you look at the fundamental purpose of notarizing a signature, it is to acknowledge that the person signed it was actually the person who they say they are. The way the statute existed or exists currently prior to this legislation accomplishes that. Now whether I question whether because the notary did not contain or write the exact specific date of the expiration of their commission, that somehow jeopardizes the validity of that signature that they witnessed. And while I appreciate the Secretary's desire for clarity for the notary, I'm wondering whether or not the perceived ambiguity in the prior statute or existing statute is frankly truer to the intentions of the notarization process. I'm leery of allowing specifically enumerated items to preclude the validity of a signature. And I think that's what you saw in that smoking ban case. And I'm fearful that if we go down this path, it will be used more as a
sword than a shield for the notary, and therefore that's the nature of my reservation. Thank you.
Anything further of the committee? Representative Gosch.
Substitute motion, do not pass.
Second.
Moved by Gosch, seconded by Turbeville. Remarks on that motion, Representative Gosch.
Well, I think Representative Lust said it very well. I had those same thoughts and feelings in this, and the Secretary said that he thought the existing statute already accomplished that purpose. What was merely asking for these changes in light of the lawsuit, and then hearing again how the signatures would be valid otherwise, but he would still not count them simply because a notary public made a mistake. And that could have been completely accidental. Instead of putting an expiration date of 2011, maybe they put 2012. I don't think that calls into question the validity of the signatures or the cost and the effort put forth toward that end. I don't think that should invalidate those petitions. And I think the statute, as we've had on the books for a number of years, is the way it is and for that purpose, and more correctly describes the process and the way it should be. So with that, I would urge you to support my do not pass motion.
Further remarks on the Gosch do not pass motion. Adam, Representative Hunt.
I think I understand the general tenor of the discussion in support of the do not pass motion, but I think we have to recognize that we have a court decision out there that said that if there wasn't a correct date, that therefore the notary is invalidated. I think we have to deal in some regard with the reality of that court decision. Otherwise, that court decision becomes precedent for other courts throughout the state. Now, at the same time, and I recognize Representative Lust's concern about a list that if you don't cross every T and dot every I, that you may end up creating more litigation in the future. And it may be that we need to perhaps delay action on this particular bill and let the parties come together, because I can see as one solution, rather than additional changes that are being proposed in this legislation, if we simply add, when we're talking about the commission expiration date, the word correct, that would keep us away from maybe having a litany list that a court could look to and say that we hadn't completed. But I am concerned over the fact that it does seem to me whether there's a correct expiration date on one of these petitions shouldn't be that significant, because it doesn't go to the subject matter, it doesn't go to the real intent, and so on and so forth. And perhaps we can disagree with the judge's logic, but we are still faced with the fact that that decision was handed down, and as a result, this legislature needs to do something. I would just throw out for some consideration possibly delaying action on this, since we are a little early in the session, and see if we can't work this out before we basically defer it to 41st legislative day or whatever action may be contemplated by the parties. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Further comments on the do not pass motion? Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My second question to the Secretary talked about notarizing without a seal. This law actually takes care of that, because if the way the current law says is if a seal is used, and we're striking that language, so we're actually making sure that there is a seal required. I think that's a very positive step. I also think if we look at Section 18-1-12, it's a misdemeanor if a person notarizes a document after its expiration. This sort of helps compliance with the law by the person actually having to put down an accurate date. And I think we're trying to keep this whole system clean as much as we can and make it appropriate. I think there's every reason to have this bill in place. I would concur with the Secretary that it is just a cleanup of what was what came down in that court decision, and basically I think the judge is almost saying, hey, let's fix it if we can, and this problem won't happen again. So I would say vote against the current motion on the floor and urge due pass after.
Further remarks from the committee. Representative Gosch.
Well, I think, you know, I would be okay with deferring this for now and letting them come back with something else, but I still think it's very punitive to throw out all these petitions because a notary who you have no control over and you have no way of knowing what their commission expiration date is put the wrong date down, or because they didn't give a good stamp and only did a partial seal, you may not know what their requirement is. You're going to punish somebody for somebody else's negligent act. And I think the court decision was a good precedent. I think if we were going to change the law, we might want to change it to match what the judge said. I guess I'm throwing out there if somebody wants to make that substitute motion to defer.
Actually, right now we have a substitute motion, so we cannot entertain another substitute motion. However, we can just defer action on it up to this point. And I think that may be appropriate. I think this is an important bill. We do have time in the session. And so we will go ahead and defer further action on House Bill 1019 to Friday. I think that may give us some time. If you think Friday is long enough to work through some of these things.
Madam Chair,
Representative Feinstein.
I'd like to suggest Monday myself a little more time.
Do we need more time?
If they get together.
Why don't we go ahead and calendar it for Friday, and if we need more time, we can move it again if need be. So the chair is going to defer further action on House Bill 1019 to Friday. And I'm not certain what that date is, but 22nd. Friday the 22nd for all parties who are interested. And in the meantime, we'll hope that we can resolve some of these differences rather than I think we're probably have gone as far as we can today with the bill. So House Bill 1019 is deferred to Friday the 22nd for further action. Thank you, committee. We'll move then in the calendar to House Bill 1047. House Bill 1047, an act to revise certain powers of a conservator. With that, we are open to proponent testimony on House Bill 1047.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schleckway.
I'd like to make a motion to defer this. It's come to my attention that there's been some language that needs to be worked out with some of the attorneys on this particular piece of legislation.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion to defer House Bill 1047. Are you wanting to defer that to Friday? Or first, I do need to ask if there's any out-of-town testimony. Thank you, Representative Hunt, for reminding me of that. Is there any out-of-town testimony for House Bill 1047? If not, then the motion is to defer House Bill 1047 to Friday. Representative Feinstein?
Again, I'm probably the cause of creating some stir on this. I am not going to be here Friday, and I guess that maybe that's fine, but I believe that my discussion would be helpful. So
hey.
I'd prefer a different day.
Is Representative Feinstein a part of your, are you able to have that discussion before he's not here? All right. We have a motion to defer House Bill 1047 to Monday. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We will defer House Bill 1047 to Friday, or Monday, excuse me. With that, we have gone through our calendar for today, and seeing no further business of the committee, the chair entertains a motion to adjourn. Moved by Turbeville, seconded by Gosch. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We are adjourned.